Good morning and welcome to the Island County Council of Governments for October 22nd, 2025. And Commissioner Janet St. Clair should be here pretty soon to take over this meeting. I'm Melanie Bacon, but I appreciate that we have some visitors here today. We have Hayden Jenkins from the Senator's office, and we have Zach Heffron from the Senator's office. And we recognize and appreciate that you've here. We had Clyde was here for a while. I don't know, is Clyde still, did he disappear?
He said he'd be joining.
Okay, Clyde will be joining us pretty soon, Clyde Shavers. And so thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Kennedy, for joining us virtual. So we'll approve the minutes once Commissioner St. Clair gets here. We're here today to discuss 2026 legislative priorities. And I don't know how Commissioner St. Clair was intending to approach this, but I guess I'd like to open the floor since Mr. Jenkins and Mr. Heffron have been so kind as to be waiting for us. I guess I'd like to open the floor to you to see if there's anything that you wanted to share from your offices to let us know, because I think that we don't often listen to what you have to say as much as we should, because we're very busy telling you what we need, and we will get to that. But why don't we start first with Hayden? Why don't you?
Thank you. Yeah, thanks very much. Appreciate you having us today in your time. That is Zachary and I's role, is to be in these positions, to listen to you all and to make sure that we and the senators are hearing what we can do to be helpful. So I think that has been successful so far. I'm looking forward to hearing about what we can do for you in 2026 and what the top priorities are for the county and the Council of Governments. Going into a new calendar year here in a couple of months. That being said, obviously, we are in an ongoing government shutdown right now. That remains the senator's top priority. She's working very hard to try and get the federal government reopened. I know that in Island County, we have a lot of military and other federal employees. So that is top priority until anything else. That being said, the Affordable Care Act tax credit extensions are hugely significant, both here in Washington State and across the country. She is not going to give away her vote for nothing. So working, wants to negotiate, but that is something that's very critical to her and to our office as well. I'll also highlight, as many of you know, she is the vice chair now of the Senate Appropriations Committee, which is a very significant role nationally. She has a big role in writing the federal budgets and the budget bills. So that comes with a lot of responsibility, but also a lot of benefits for Washington State. I know that many of you are aware of the congressionally designated spending process or other tools that we can use to help communities and projects in the state get funding. But I always just want to plug that. We are happy to talk about those or anything else that we can do to be helpful in the next year or any time. The last thing I'll say is there's been a lot of federal chaos over the last 10 months, 9 months. We are tracking all of those issues very closely. But to do that, we need the help of communities and leaders in those communities. So things like frozen grants, federal firings, information about what's going on at federal agencies, all of that is very, very helpful to our office. Sometimes we have a pretty hard time getting that from the administration or from the agencies directly. So would just love to continue to stay in touch with you all. Anything that you're hearing is generally helpful for us. I'm always around and available to have conversations about specific policy questions or grants or anything like that. So please feel free to reach out anytime. Feel free to share my contact info with folks that have questions. That is Zachary and I's role to be that connection to the office. So thanks again for your time. Looking forward to hearing more about the priorities today.
Thank you. I'm going to turn this over to Commissioner St. Clair. And Zach is the only person who has spoken so far, Janet. So
my apologies, Zach and Hayden. I got caught between, I had a runaway dog, two trains, and you name it on my commute. This was not the day. So my apologies. Thank you for being here. I apologize. I missed most of what you were talking about. I'm going to raise one thing that won't surprise you. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to the other healthcare providers in our region and meet with Senator Murray. I shared about that yesterday at our Board of Health, and I just want to add one tidbit of information. During that meeting, one of the issues that was raised was the 340B threats and cuts. And in our Board of Health meeting, our public health director shared that that is also how we supplement and pay for our tuberculosis treatments when there is an outbreak. So I just wanted to add that little tidbit of information because I know you're gathering information about the impact of these cuts. With that, thank you, Commissioner Bacon, for chairing and holding down the fort. Does anyone have any questions for our guests?
Well, Zachary hasn't yet spoken from Commissioner Cantwell's office. I misspoke. It was
Oh,
Hayden that
we were
spoke
letting them
before.
talk. Tell us what they're up to first, and then we're
That
going to
makes sense rather
go
than wait
over
for. Yeah, okay.
other things.
Well, then, Zachary, I will let you go ahead and speak.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you so much
It's
for
good to
the.
see you.
It's good to, well, you're all pretty small on my screen, but it's good to
Yeah,
see
sorry
everybody
about that.
there as well. I can see waving. But yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to come here. And I apologize. I had to take a call really quickly while Hayden was talking, but I caught most of what he said, and I think he covered a lot of it really well. I think right now relies a lot on communication and partnership and keeping all of those avenues open. There is a lot of changes happening, good or bad, you can decide for yourself, but I think there's a lot of changes that take a lot of communication to navigate. And so keeping that open, I think, has been really helpful so far and will continue to be. The one thing, and Hayden might have mentioned this right at the beginning when I didn't hear, but definitely want to, as Commissioner St. Clair, you were just starting to talk about, healthcare is really the big fight right now. And just to kind of put a finer point on it, you might have seen a Seattle Times article about it this morning, but we're expecting Washingtonians to start seeing their rates for the next year come in, and those are going to be drastically impacted by what's happening at the federal level, both with the passage of the summer bill, the One Big Beautiful Bill that made had a lot of impacts on our healthcare delivery system. And will for the foreseeable future. But then also, of course, what we're talking about right now with the enhanced premium tax credits for individuals who buy their insurance on the marketplace. And just know that that's something that we are paying such close attention to. We're really worried about what it's going to mean, having more people who are uninsured, who forego insurance because of the cost, having businesses that are going to have to deal with higher costs for their employees. There's just a lot of impacts that we're really worried about, but we're tracking closely. And again, it's going to be a lot of dialogue with you all, with I know cities and counties and small governments are all going to be dealing with paying their own employees, and joints in a more challenging healthcare environment. So we're just going to make sure we keep the dialogue open, but know that's something that is top of mind for my boss and is almost every day the top focus. But really appreciate being able to be here, listening to what's important to the county and our cities and ports out on the island. And yeah, looking forward to hearing more.
Thank you, Zach. I wanted to say that in our local paper today, there was a story from your press release that Senator Cantwell put out and mentioned that 2,700 Island County residents will see their health insurance premiums skyrocket if Congress doesn't extend the enhanced premium tax credit. So we're very, very grateful to both of your offices for your attention on this. This is going to be really crucial to our citizens.
I saw data as high as a little over 3,000, so I appreciate what Commissioner Bacon's sharing. I want to put a fine point on a story I saw on Facebook of one, I'm not going to say who, but it's on Facebook that their family premium will go up roughly $1,700 a month with a $12,000 deductible. And that's a working family. That's not something that we can sustain. And so I know you're always looking for the story and the examples locally.
I want to chime in. I'm here as well, just to make sure. This is Clyde.
Hi, Clyde. We see you and we'll add you to the spotlight. Unmute yourself and you'll show up.
Great. Thank you, everyone. Sorry, I'm off camera. I'm having some technical difficulties this morning, and I didn't want to miss it. So I apologize. You'll just have to look at my name. But I really appreciate the invitation. I really appreciate kind of the discussion that we're already having here in terms of healthcare. As you all may already know, we have some fiscal or funding challenges again this coming session. I anticipate that this coming legislative session, starting in January, will be equally as challenging as the last session. As you like I mentioned, as you may all know, we're going to have some challenges in terms of determining how to or where to make some cuts, what programs will have to be amplified due to the passage of HR 1. On my side, our office is really focusing on the healthcare and the education aspect that we've been doing since last session as well. We're concerned about the challenges that we face with Apple Health. We're looking into ensuring that we provide sufficient or adequate funding so that we can ensure that folks who are eligible or are participating in Apple Health can continue to be part of that program. We're also on the education front concerned about some programs that Washington State partakes in that were cut due to federal funding cuts. A lot of the programs, including some research and technical programs, some equity programs, a lot of our school districts get funding from that. So we're looking into seeing how we can kind of buttress those cuts from the federal side. I think in overall, as we move forward towards this session, as we have more substantive discussions, these discussions are becoming more concrete in terms of how do we reallocate or shift money to those programs that are being most detrimentally impacted. So that also means that new projects or funding requests from counties or other local jurisdictions, it's going to be a harder challenge to kind of push forward. Not saying it's impossible, but my office and I'm sure offices in Olympia will continue to push for their district projects. But again, just want to temper some hopes here. It's going to be a challenge. And I think second, we're really looking into kind of seeing what do our counties really, really need. I know that Commissioner St. Clair and Commissioner Bacon, we talked about the follow-on of our sewer study that we had, and how do we kind of adjust policy making so that the county can better utilize those findings that we found in the sewer study. Those are the things that our office is really kind of looking into. How do we produce these policies that don't have large fiscal notes? I spoke with Governor Ferguson the last time he was in Coopville, and also spoke with Speaker Jenkins a couple of times these past few months, and we're really looking into what are our priorities for this coming session as we really kind of try to figure out where we can push money and where we can allocate. So those are the challenges that we're seeing. I know I really didn't say anything extremely concrete because we're just still in figuring out what can we do and what should we do.
Thank you, Representative. Yesterday, again, just to stay on my one note song here at the Board of Health, there was a thank you and call out for your work for our veterans in the county as our VSOs presented. And we're able to talk about the $4.8 million they have been able to, through the investments we've done in VSOs, put into the pockets of our veterans. And the ability to connect them to healthcare, to link that to the federal, Dr. Markman was there from the VA, and he spoke about our new CBO up at Oak Harbor. Mayor Wright was there, and we talked about linking our veterans, many of whom are aging and increasingly frail with multiple complex healthcare conditions, to care. And so just at a time in which we're a little distressed about the future and the present, to say thank you for your work on VSOs and thank you for the support in getting that CBO opened up at Oak Harbor Naval Air Station. Are we now ready for questions from all of us?
Sure.
Okay. So what for all three, what do you guys want to emphasize? Mayor, you want to start?
So we had a meeting yesterday with the Association of Washington Cities. They came out to meet with the district. And so they shared some of their focuses, and some of the things that were talked about that we have a lot of agreement with are things like indigent defense and addressing the increased costs around that. Those costs keep going up and up and up, and they're affecting our local ability to support those needs. They're also affecting our bottom line, as we all know. And so there's a lot of concern about how we address that. There is some grant funding that's been made available, but there are a lot of restrictions around that. And then we also have the recent Supreme Court case that is stating that there are going to be less cases that can be assigned. And then in areas like ours that are rural, we're struggling with the impact of having less attorneys that are available. So not only are those costs sometimes higher, the caseload is higher, so there's a lot of impacts there. Then housing supply, we're all working on that and making sure that we have, in Oak Harbor, we're talking about affordable housing and healthcare. So we've really been trying to work on making sure we have more childcare centers to support those individuals in our community that are working and looking for a place that their children are safe and taken care of during the day. And then around transportation, Association of Washington Cities has that on theirs, but we also emphasize the fact that we want to talk about ferries and bridges. Long-term planning and funding around bridges, and then also, which we've talked about in this group, the impact of our ferry system, the increasing cost, having some tools for locals, things around that. And then we also are looking at our emergency services. We're really working on, as you've heard, we've been doing a lot of emergency management work, but we're also looking at making sure that we have our new fire station coming online, increasing services that are available for paramedics. When an ambulance leaves Island County to go to Providence Hospital on a ferry ride, that ambulance is gone for that amount of time. When they go to Island Hospital in Anacortes, it's gone. And so we need to increase those services. So we've received support, and we appreciate that from the federal level to pursue some funding around bringing another ambulance to our community. And then the other thing is that we're working on public records management. This is a real challenge for all of us. I know I'm preaching to the choir. We have this challenge of increasing records, and then people don't pick them up. So we've invested staff time and energy in doing this, and our costs, unlike other states, don't address the rising cost of having that staff person do that work. And then finally, as always, we're investing in our community and we're supporting Naval Air Station Whidbey Island. Those are our focuses. And then we're always looking at that additional item that we might come up with as staff. And it sounds like healthcare is going to be a hot topic that's probably going to be added to the list.
So, along the lines of healthcare, I do have one question for everyone here.
Could you, to just remember to identify yourself
Oh,
because you
yeah.
do have
I'm sorry.
both online.
This is Mayor Wright with the City of Oak Harbor. I recently encountered an issue with a clinic off island where they said that because of something that was mandated recently from the Big Beautiful Bill in Congress, they're no longer doing telemed. Is that a real thing? Because that's going to really severely impact us in rural communities. Has anyone else heard that?
I also had to cancel a telehealth appointment and physically go to
Yeah.
see a doctor on
So
the other side.
I just want you guys to be aware of that is impacting folks locally here at a large level. So even probably us in this room. So
Zach, I hope Senator Cantwell's been really good on a lot of the issues around digital access and equity. She's been a champion. I had heard that as well, and I heard the reasoning being because it had the word digital access to healthcare for telehealth had the word equity in it.
So if we'd love to hear more about that. That is part of why we're expanding broadband in Island County, is so people can have telehealth services.
I think that what my doctor said was it had to do with the funding shutdown right now.
That's what they told me too.
So it's just the it's
but
just,
it could be tied to
it
work
could be it absolutely could
all of that funding
so. Absolutely could.
So it's just the government shutdown and the telehealth funding is from that, but it's already been appropriated.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah,
all right.
Yep.
Hayden, do you have an answer to that?
No specific answer without knowing more info, but there have been a lot of changes around access to telehealth. I believe that folks on Medicaid or Medicare can no longer get that telehealth service. And then there have also just been service cuts. There's not as much funding as I think has been brought up. I know of a few specific grants related to it that have been terminated. But I think also some programmatic and systemic funding just doesn't exist anymore. Happy to talk more about the specifics, Mayor Wright. If you want to share details about what organization was operating that service before, I'm happy to check in with them and try and learn some more. But we are aware of these cuts. We're aware of the importance of telehealth, especially in rural communities. It's something that Senator Murray has been very passionate about and worked on in the past. So I don't have any immediate solutions right now, unfortunately, but it's definitely something that we're tracking and that we're interested in addressing in the future.
Sure. No, I'm just, so for me specifically, it was Skagit Clinic over in Skagit County. And I will just also, I just want to put, you know, something in you all's ear that we have skilled nursing facilities or retirement homes where this is predominantly how they see their primary care yep. physicians on a routine basis before they actually have to go in and do labs and things, but they have checkups and things remotely. And this isn't going to be accessible to them now. And it's creating quite the logistical problem for getting these folks to their primary care doctors. And we don't have enough primary care doctors on the island to address the need for all of these folks. So,
yeah, for me, it was Optum over in Everett. But what's interesting to me, Hayden, is you saying that this is going to affect people on Medicare, all sorts of red flags for that,
yeah.
because those that's the population who it's more difficult for them to give off island.
Yeah.
And we have a disproportionately higher number of folks over 65 than anywhere else in the state, especially
right.
on South Whidbey and Camino, I think, had the two highest levels of folks over 65. And in fact, in the recent data, that shift has now gone to the, 90 and above in the census?
Yeah.
We're hearing it, and at a time in which our Island Senior Resources is facing significant cuts to services to keep people out of the hospital.
Well, and I think one of the other challenges is a lot of specialists, like one of the specialists that I utilize is out of Seattle, because Kaiser, for example, has pushed having their specialists only at certain locations because services like telemed were available. So you were allowing people to go to those locations mm-hmm. through different options. And when that's removed, people are having to travel even further than you would have thought. It's not just Everett. It's not just Anacortes. It's mm-hmm. even further out than that to find that specialist, especially for children too.
Yeah.
Some of our children who are receiving services for places like, you know, children's hospitals and things like that.
Well, so for pediatric associates, I think I recall it 60% of the kids at pediatric associates are Apple Health kids. And so the significance of that care and their practices closed to new clients and the ability to access specialty care. Our representatives already know this, but there was a study done this spring that has 14 hospitals at risk of closure. We're already seeing specialty service in Washington State due to Medicaid changes. We're already seeing closures of OBGYN, specialty care, all of those units across our state, more in Eastern Washington, but still significant in Western, which means all of the hospitals and healthcare providers are now competing for scant slots available for specialty care. So we really have a cascading crisis for those who are most vulnerable.
I would ask that Jennifer add Langley Mayor Horseman and Port Commissioner Vandepas to be presenters so that they can also participate in the conversation if they choose.
Yeah, you just need to unmute or uncamera yourself or whatever the word is.
I'm here. I'm on.
Good morning.
Perfect.
I'm Mayor Horstman, the City of Langley. I want to just, this is all, I just want to address the elephant in the room and say, in my opinion, healthcare is the right place to take a stand. The situation is unprecedented when you look beyond this particular issue. Please continue to resist and to demand rule of law. We need you all. I want to echo basically all the comments that have been shared so far, and then I want to emphasize a couple of points. One is supporting public records and public records requests and continuing to survive as a small city where predatory public records lawsuits are easy. I recognize this is a state level issue, but the City of Langley has been sued yet again by an individual who definitely approaches public records as a way to prey on cities. So Representative Shavers, just want to register that. If we can look at some ways to protect cities and other jurisdictions from predatory public records lawsuits, it would be very much appreciated. The other thing I want to emphasize that the Association of Washington Cities brought up, really looking at how to support housing supply, affordable housing supply, as opposed to zoning, coding, mandated regulations. And one thing I pulled aside the AWC rep and said, hey, look, affordable housing projects in rural areas are forced to cobble together multiple different funding sources. One of the challenges is that each of these funding sources has different reporting and management requirements. So when you have to put together six or eight different funding sources and all of them require different reporting, we're adding significant administrative overhead to something that is already going to really struggle to be in the black. This is not something that's going to get fixed this year, but I think if we're serious about public funding for affordable housing, we need to be more mindful of all the strings that are attached from each of the different funding sources. I know you don't have a magic wand. This is probably going to take years to address, but I wanted to raise it as a very, very real impediment to being able to move forward with public funding for affordable housing, especially in rural areas. That's what I got.
Thank you, Mayor Horstman. Mayor Molly, would you like to follow the other two?
Sure. Molly Hughes, Mayor of Coopville. Thank you for being with us this morning. I have a lot of the same things that have already been talked about. I will dive into ferries, though, because ferries is just a long, long-term problem. The three ferries that we have under construction will result in no net increase to our current inventory. So it's the three that are under construction will keep us at the level we're at right now. When they start pulling them out again to make them electric, or more importantly, pulling ferries out of service for months for long-term maintenance that's been deferred. And we're seeing that because the ferries are breaking down all the time. There needs to be, I know that you only do your budget 2 years at a time, but there really needs to be some state commitment that that the ferry, that you're going to continue to keep the ferry system going in our state. I know it's a lot of money, but it's hundreds of thousands of people depend on them. They're not just a tourist, you know, fund for tourists. They're really important. We also have health care. After the recent bill, it kind of like, we had health care. We discussed this, the council discussed this before the big, beautiful bill. And so we again wanted to emphasize the lack of availability of mental health care. But now it kind of, I mean, that, and that's a horrible crisis.
Yes.
But now it just kind of seems that just falls into basic healthcare in general. I didn't know about the telemed thing.
Well, I mean, and when you take that aspect away from the ability for people to have access to mental health care,
to counseling,
we only have so many practitioners here in Island County that are already at max capacity.
Right.
We have a ton of folks that are going outside of the area for this service,
mm-hmm.
and now that's not going to be available to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the thing on Whidbey Island is it's not just a simple thing to say, oh, you need to get an appointment with your doctor. That takes months. It takes months. Even if you have a primary care physician, it takes months to get an appointment. So that just, you know, we've had a mental health crisis. Now, you know, we can, it's kind of just worse. I'd want to ask for continued resources for small communities to make the changes needed to combat climate change and sea level rise. I know that funding has probably, those kind of grants are probably gone for a while. Really appreciate the planning and research funding you had made available in the last couple of years. Those of us that were able to take advantage of that, now we have these great plans and we have ideas of things to do that cost millions of dollars. So now we're looking for, okay, how can we implement these things that need to happen? And I would also say, it's a good thing Jen is not in this room when I say this, our
ILIO
person. When Coopville literally has historic buildings being destroyed by sea level rise, I think that there may need the Corps of Army Engineers and Department of Ecology and DNR. I think that we may need to consider taking a short-term step back and think and figuring out how we can save these shoreline communities, because we can't do the things we need to do right now because of all of the environmental laws. I know they fight against each other, but it's, this may be a time where we need to kind of like maybe shift our priorities a little bit or take into consideration that there's other things going on right now. I know that would be like a glacial change. You couldn't even get an appointment with Corps of Army Engineers for 6 months to even discuss it. I know. So that's a dream. Child care and public records requests. These two things kind of make me angry because these two things could be drastically improved by our state legislators like that. I mean, it would be, there would be so many things you could do that would be so easy to implement. They would be not, they're not political with childcare. And we can give you a really good example with having the base on our island. We have a great need for childcare. There's not enough of it. We've got a lot of our Navy spouses that would be willing and want to do home childcare, have small home childcare centers, which is a lot. Is what a lot of parents would like to put their children into that situation, mm-hmm. but it takes 2 years for them to get licensed. So by the time they get licensed by the state, their spouse has been deployed somewhere else. The state requirements for licensing for home childcare could be very easily restructured quickly. And that would make a huge difference, not just on our island, but in lots of situations. And the same with public records reform. We're not asking that people don't have access to public records, but there needs to be side rails on it. You know, having to fill a public records request that says, give me everything with the word water in it. I mean, like, we literally have to do that. There needs to be
rational.
There needs to be side rails. There needs to be... And that would be an easy fix for you guys to make, a really good fix. This is why you get caught up in lawsuits, because people intentionally give you these vast records requests that are literally impossible to fill. And they're holding on to one email to see if you're going to send it to them. Mm-hmm. And then they sue you. It's just a game. And it's a waste of our staff's time and our taxpayers' resources. And we could very easily get the information that our community wants and needs to them in a more timely and efficient manner and get rid of these people that are making their living on public records requests. And the last thing, housing, I got to be a little bit careful on this. I said to my council, careful what you ask for, because we got what we asked for last year and yikes, did not work out well. Last year we had asked for some, look at the GMA, make some changes for to support workhouse housing in rural settings. Oh my God. And then we got two ADUs added per parcel. Unbelievable. Unbelievable state requirement. The unintended consequences of that are going to be so vast, and create and no parking requirements. In our tiny little town of 2000, historic, that by the way has a great, wonderful diversity of housing for our little tiny town. It's unbelievable the different types of housing we have here. Adding two ADUs per parcel. Now, I know realistically that's not going to happen everywhere, but it's already happened enough, not two of them, but one of them, on our little historic parcels, that you're putting ADUs on top of garages that somehow end up looking like a tower in the middle of town. It's going to be it's going to really change the character of our town if people take advantage of that rule. I just really think there's going to be some unintended consequences for that. So, I mean, geez, even if you would have said one ADU, I mean, Coopville has allowed ADUs for decades. We allowed them way before it was the popular thing to do, not for workforce housing, but for aging in place, because we are an older island. And so it got to be, we were hearing from our community that they needed home health care or they couldn't take care of their big house anymore, but they didn't want to leave the island where they'd lived all their life. So we did the ADUs, we allowed ADUs so that the elderly person could either move into the ADU and their family moved into the big house, or the home health care worker moved into the ADU. And we've just had a few people take advantage of that. But two ADUs per property is pretty mind blowing. Okay, that's all my that's all
Thank
I have.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to continue with our online and get to us last.
Yeah, sure.
Martin, I've seen your hand up, and you're next on my list for sharing your priorities and comments for the port.
Yeah, thanks. This is Martin Vandepass with the Port of Coopville, and for those who aren't aware, the Port of Coopville is a small port that mainly operates the Greenbank Farm and the Coopville Wharf in the town of Coopville. We also have a broadband project that I'll touch on. And I only have two requests. I mean, I'm echoing a lot of what other people have said, and one of them is an echo of what other people said. The National Marine Fisheries Service permitting project, anybody that's trying to do any work on a waterway is challenged by not just the environmental regulations and complying with the eelgrass surveys and all the little things we have to do that cost money to get a permit in, but the permits take a year or more. And it's like $100,000+, and we're just trying to replace a dock that is at way past the end of its life and is old rotting wood with a newer metal one that everybody tells us is much better for the environment because sunlight can get through the metal grates. And so it's like the project is an overall huge win for the environment, but just because of all the built-up regulations over the years, it gets treated in an antagonistic way where they think we're doing something terrible. And so it just needs a little more. I feel like the whole permitting process there needs a revamp of let's figure out what we need to do and just do it right. And then the other one that's kind of pertinent right now is we've gotten, starting a few years ago, we were awarded some large broadband grants to the tune of about $6 million from the Washington State Broadband Office and Public Works Board. And we've been struggling to find broadband partners to help us build out those projects. And right now we've been partnering with Ziply. And the issue that we're having currently is that in the several years of planning of these projects and delays, many of the houses that we originally received the grants for that were on the original list have since been served and so are no longer needed to build out broadband lines to them. And so we're requesting to modify our grant with Public Works Board, which in turn is funded by the Federal Treasury, or at least the monies are controlled by the Federal Treasury. And Federal Treasury is just declining our requests. And our requests are pretty reasonable. We want to serve fewer homes because some have already been served. And we need an extension for the timeline. And we're not asking for more money, but we're asking for the same amount of money for fewer houses served. And we're just kind of getting stonewalled and not really any communication from Treasury. And that makes sense because they're currently shut down, I suppose. But if there's anything you guys could do to assist on that, or if you have any contacts in Treasury just to help us explain our case.
Zach, for contacts, this was ARPA dollars. So we've got a WISBO grant and a Public Works Trust Board grant. Both have agreed to, obviously we don't want to spend money to serve served locations, but to continue to reach out and get to our unserved by FCC standards, our under and unserved locations. They requested to change from the original map to another. There are somewhat less houses in that because the cost has gone up over time and so forth. But at the state level, they agree this is a reasonable there's a word you guys use in government that I can't think of, reassignment of those funds. And if your office can help the port, I think these are the remaining sort of unserved individuals in Central Whidbey. And because BEAD is already out the door and everything else is out the door, if we aren't able to use this, they remain unserved for a long, long time because we don't have new funding coming in to serve those locations. So we have a problem. We have a solution. We just need to get through the bureaucracy at the Treasury. The state already agrees with Martin. I apologize for stepping on your point, Martin.
No, thank you, Janet.
But I've spent 6 years on this project.
Yeah, she's been working on this longer than me. So I don't know if you want to take over communications with these guys, if there's anything they
can
do.
No, I do not.
Okay. Zach,
do you have a question?
Yeah, so I appreciate you bringing this up and, doing the good work across Island County. I mean, there's so much going on to bring access, internet access to folks. And as you talked about earlier, what it means for telehealth, what it means for the economy and folks who can work remotely, know that we continue to be big supporters of that. On this project specifically, the director brought it up to me to see what we could do to help. In order for us to be involved, of course, it has to be at that federal level. And so I ended up on the director's recommendation having a call with the Public Works Board folks. They said they would be in contact with you all, but it sounded like at the moment it really... things need to be sorted out at the state level. It sounds like down the road, there could be an opportunity for us to jump in if the decision is made that, an extension needs to be submitted to Treasury. But at the moment, it sounds like that's not something that's precedent for Treasury. They haven't offered those in the past, but there's still some questions up in the air if they're going to, especially because it's ARPA money, which was this one-time infusion. So there's a lot of questions and a new administration. So know that our office is aware of it. I know Larson's office has been looped in. Hayden and I have caught up on it too. Know that we're aware of it and we want to help if we can, but we've got to Our office has to make it a priority to respect the boundaries too of when it's a state level issue versus when it comes to the federal level.
Yeah, thank you.
But no, we're going to stay in contact and stay in
We have
touch
been
on it.
working with Public Works Board at the state level, and they're amenable to all our requests. What we hear from them, or at least most of them, what we hear from them is that when they try to get that
Martin,
implemented,
I'm going to
that
move
plays
us
a role.
along because we only have 7 minutes, and I want to
Sure,
make
sure.
sure you have other issues that are addressed, and you can reach out to Sheila Richardson at the Trust Board and Zach after.
Yeah, feel free and stay in contact on this. No, we're watching
Okay.
it. And yeah, stay in contact.
Appreciate it. Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't have anything else. Thanks, Janet.
Can I say one thank you?
Sure.
Hey, Clyde, this is Molly. I don't know if this got in the budget or ended up in the budget. I think it did. I wanted to give my appreciation to the state for being proactive and realizing that if these SNAP cuts and these WICA cuts
Yep.
and these Social Security cuts and Medicaid cuts really do happen, which I guess we're going to find out next month, about the state looking at ways that they could subsidize some of those immediate food, short food funding being lost. We're really seeing it at the food bank already, even though it hasn't really kicked in yet. I think people are signing up at food banks anticipating these cuts happening because they really don't know what's happening, really don't know from month to month what's going on and what's going to happen. And, you know, everybody, the food banks and food programs are hurting because just the cost of food has just gone up so much. So it's harder for us to serve the same amount of people. And it's going to be harder for those people to lose what subsidies they had coming. But thank you for looking at that in advance.
Yes. I'm
Thank
going
you.
to,
Yeah. I
Commissioner.
definitely. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Clyde.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, he's answering. Go ahead and answer,
Answer,
Clyde.
Clyde.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate Mayor Molly kind of the shout out as I definitely lost some hair over that. I have been visiting the different food banks across the district, and I share your same concern about the dramatic or drastic cuts to our food banks from USDA. So we are looking at that as well to ensure that how do we use state money to buttress that. And then if there's some time left, I would like to also kind of address some kind of challenges that you mentioned that we've been working on, so you're aware as well. Only if you have time, Commissioner St. Clair.
Well, I would defer that to the Chair Bacon because she was going to share on the county priorities. We can always mail those out to you.
Yeah, we
It's,
can.
I just want to not, I want to be respectful that she had county stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I just wanted to raise two of our on our list because they have both state and federal asks. So let me do those and then I'll be
And then
so
Clyde, the rest of the time, we'll
and
let
then
you
we'll
have
get to
it.
Clyde. So Clyde had mentioned earlier the county's rural wastewater study, and we're very grateful to the state for providing the dollars for that study. And so they did identify some solutions. And so what we're looking at now is some action in 26 and in 27. Our goal in 2027 is to build some pilot systems to see what really of the various alternatives, which one are going to maybe work in different situations. Before we build the pilot systems, we want to have work with an intergovernmental working group and a quality assurance plan with technical standards and monitoring protocols where we delineate really what those pilot projects are going to be. So what we're looking for, Clyde, in the state is to see if maybe we can get we're looking for about $78,000 to help us with this working group. We've been in communication. We're working with Washington State Association of Local Public Health Officials. We're working with the Washington State Department of Health and with others. To really identify very clearly what the technical expectations are and where we should do these pilot projects and so on. Then for 2027, we're going to be looking to the feds to see if we can get some funding to help us with those pilot projects. And so, Hayden and Zach, you'll be seeing communications from Merchant McIntyre associated with that in trying to get some funds for that. The other thing, though, that we're looking at both the state and the feds, and you've all three of you have heard from us about this to see if there's any ideas you have of where we can get funding for, is for the electrical panel in the building that we are in right now. It's a $1 million capital budget project. It is an emergency. I spoke yesterday with our new facilities director, who's been with us for 1 week, and he completely 100% agrees with the assessment that we've gotten up to this point, that this has to be taken care of immediately. Our problem right now is, I don't want to use the kind of terms that come up about this, but it is an emergency, and we're really struggling trying to figure out how to fund this utterly necessary repair. So both either the state or the feds or both part, we'd be happy to share, but we do need some help with this one. So those are the only two I'm going to address, Janet.
Thank you. Clyde, I apologize that I wasn't managing time well, but I want to give you a few minutes if you have some additional things to share.
Thank you very much. I know I have about 30 seconds or a minute, so I'll try to just
2 minutes.
Around.
You've got an abundance of time.
Okay, great. So I really appreciate all of your concerns and challenges. What I'm going to say is not the end all be all. This is kind of what we're working on, just so you're aware. And then, of course, take home all your challenges to Olympia as well in January. So in terms of I first heard about telehealth. So Olympia, we've been really working on ensuring access to telehealth. In my office, really focusing on those veterans who need it, and also those folks in our rural areas that can't access. So we did pass a bill that ensures, for example, audio type telehealth being coverage for that. So we are kind of taking chunks to ensure that at least on the state side, telehealth is being covered. So that's one thing. Shifting to kind of the climate change, sea level rise, Mayor Molly, that I heard. So about 2 years ago, we were really focusing on Stanwood, similar to the challenges that Coopville has. Stanwood continues to flood. So we were proud to our office to get a lot of funding for a dike and fish levee passage. I know that that's not the solution for all places, including Coopville, but just saying that our office that prioritizes ensuring that we combat these sea level rises. So looking forward to continuing those conversations with you, Mayor Molly, and of course the community of Coopville. The other thing about mental health. So our office is really focusing on K-12 mental health right now. We are looking into the possibility, hopefully, to get funding, whether now or in the near future, for more community-based healthcare systems in our schools. So ensuring that how do we provide that mental behavioral health support for our K-12 students. We are working on a bill also because I heard that, definitely on Whidbey Island, but we just don't have enough staff or personnel involved in this area. We're focusing on two areas. First is the licensing side. So our office has been aggressive in trying to push faster mental behavioral health licensing across Washington State. So we're individually actually talking with constituents and folks across the state to try to figure this out. And then second, on the mental behavioral health side, we're looking at how do we utilize other programs to amplify personnel. So we're looking at, are there folks in higher education that are looking into getting their clinical hours? How do we utilize those to benefit our communities in rural areas? So we are trying to find unique areas to figure out how to better address mental behavioral health, the crisis that we see, especially in this challenging funding. And last thing, I know there's so many more that you mentioned, but I know I'm out of time, is the transportation side / ferries. So when I spoke with the governor, like I mentioned in Coopville, that is a priority for us because of the challenges in funding. We're looking at deliberate ways to continue funding transportation. One of the major priorities for our office and for the governor's office is ensuring continued maintenance on what we have in Washington State. We are seeing challenges with bridges, for example. There was a recent Mount Rainier situation. So how do we ensure that we continue to allocate sufficient funding for maintenance? On the ferry side, we are well aware of the challenges that come with The maintenance, the governor most recently or recently is trying to figure out how to more effectively, cost effectively build these new ferries that we that passed 2 years ago in our bill sponsored by Jake Fy. So, that's not to say this is the end of, we're done with our job. We're continuing to look for more funding for our ferry system. At the same time, I know that Representative Dave Paul has done a lot of work in trying to ensure funding goes into this and ensure that how do we increase staffing levels. Our office last session passed a bill that actually introduces curriculum for our maritime industry so that folks in high school can start looking into becoming ferry workers themselves. So trying to find some unique ways tackling this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. We're going to defer sharing items of mutual interest. We want to thank our elected officials and their staff who came to talk with us today. We really appreciate the face time we have with you and the ability to share what you clearly heard we're so passionate about in serving our communities. To all of us, our next meeting for the Council of Government is January 28th. And we will be focused on one thing, which is paying attention to reappointing our next leadership.
We didn't approve the minutes yet because we didn't have a
Oh,
quorum before.
thank you. Before we adjourn, before you was the minutes from September 24th. Can I get a quick motion and a second to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any comments or corrections? With that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Commissioner. And with that, we're adjourned and we'll be pivoting. Hang on to those of us who are going to pivot with us
Thank
to
you.
the IRTPO. Thank
Thank
you,
you.
guys.
Thanks for
Thanks
coming.
all.
Thank you
Thank
very,
you,
very
everyone.
much.
Looking
Thanks.
forward to staying in touch.